Jorgo Frieda drew attention to him in 1963 when he published a brochure which unleashed a barrage of hysterical criticism in the Italian Jewish community and in the Italian Communist Party. In the same year, he wrote to Evola. The reply from Evola can be found on the site of the publishing house he set up the year after, www.libreir.it/juliusevola.htm number sign letter a www.libreir.it/juliusevola.htm number sign letter a. In this letter, Evola warned him against a mistake which had already been made by most of the Evolians who entered the political Italian mess in the 1960s. This mistake, he made it too. He fell into the Semitic trap of the false opposition between Zionism and anti-Zionism. It's always the same old story. Two permanent features can be seen in his militant commitment: the struggle against Zionism and the fight against the bourgeois liberal system, which he considered as the manifestation of American imperialism in Europe since the end of WW2. In 1969, it was him who organized in Padova, together with the Maoist groups Potere Operaio, the first major support meeting for the Palestinians in Italy, in the presence of representatives of the Fatah. In the true Semitic Jacobinist tradition of terrorism, he went so far as to provide one of them with timing devices. It thus appears that, before thinking that that system was going to implode, he was of the opinion that it should explode. La disintegrazione del sistema was published in 1969, in the middle of the so-called student movement, which, however, was less revolutionary in Italy than it was in France, where, that time, not having at his disposal Yankee Jewish finance divisions to allow him to crow his victory on the Champs-Élysées and next to the Vogelsbergers, the weak bourgeois general who was then in charge preferred, once again, to run away instead of confronting reality and unleashing tanks, allowing. Thus the so-called anti-establishment youth, led by the idle kids of the establishment, instrumentalized in their turn by groups, which can be called communist in the broadest sense, to lay down the law. Since then, to quote Carlyle, who appreciated very much this French word, this racaille has come into office in most Western European countries. Aren't most Western countries currently managed by cocaine addicts and their so-called administration filled with respectable slaves, in the Aristotelian sense, who have never recovered from the pills they took in the late 1960s in music festivals? Very few people have realized what the May 1968 movement really meant for Europe. All dikes, the very last ones, the few remaining ones, finally broke. The racaille, Evola calls it human dust in Syntesi di Dottrina della Razza, could then infiltrate the state apparatus of the various nations. It is not by chance that, for example, the first pro-immigration laws and many laws favoring the so-called emancipation of women were enacted at the beginning of the 1970s. This anti-establishment youth had come into office and had taken over most administrations, the media, and education. It could then adopt a middle-class outlook. Revolution can be fun. Speaking of respectable cocaine addicts and of neo-Maoists, a EU deputy lately quoted with admiration Mao Tse Tung in front of the camera right in the middle of the so-called European Parliament. He did not quote Stalin, he did not quote Guevara, he did not quote Lenin, he dared to quote Mao Tse Tung, an individual whose premature death, let it be said in passing for those exotic Evolians who may have Maoist sympathies, wouldn't have bothered Evola. As clearly shown by an article which published at evolashays.wordpress.com/2016/0/4/1/4/les-centers-initiatiques-it-lhistoire, namely initiatory centers, still incidentally, rather than the solution considered by Evola to put a premature end to the life of this Chinese leader, the burning of his collection of pornographic videotapes, one of the largest in the world, with that of the Hollywood actor who's been hired a few years ago to play a major diplomatic role at the head of North Korea, would have sufficed to cause him a heart attack as Chinese troops were crossing the Tibetan border. Needless to say that, in the kosher matriarchal Europe, they have been preparing lovingly. Only a Jew can go so far as to quote publicly Mao Tse Tung with a large smile, saying aloud what the vast majority of his Goyim colleagues feel deep inside but are not allowed to say. One of his earlier statements, from 1968, when he was at the head of the student movement, turns out to be commented adequately by Evola in an article called Psychoanalysis of Protest. 1. He has declared that what he fights for is the advent of a new man, but he has forgotten to say what this new man is. If ever he was to be modelled on the vast majority of the current anti-establishment people in their individuality, in their behaviour, and in their elective choices, all there is to say is, thanks, but no thanks. Now, as even acknowledged by his French thurifers, it is at this so-called anti-establishment youth that Frieda's a message was aimed. For the readers to realise to what extent Frieda was influenced by Evola, let's quote on the latter, who, with a touch of humour, summed up the sinister joke which consists in considering this anti-establishment movement as something positive, owing to the lack of true counterpart and the predominance of an irrational background. We can say, without wishing to be spiteful, that this anti-authority movement would deserve an existential and psychoanalytic study more than a cultural study. In Considerations on the Student Movement, 2, Evola stressed and lamented the fact that this so-called anti-authority movement was instrumentalized by left-wing, not to say far-left, elements. Now, it is precisely to those elements that Frieda turned at that time, that is, the extraparliamentarian far-left, Maoist groups, the Marxist-Leninist Italian party, to which he offered to fight together the so-called system. Moral order, conformism, pro-Zionism and philo-Americanism, anti-communism, Frieda came down strongly against the bourgeois values of our times, as well as against those he considered as their bearers, priests, magistrates and bankers. Evola could have asked him, in the name of what? Economically, Frieda favoured a communist organisation, which, according to his supporters, owes less to Marx's than to Plato's. They forgot to tell us whether it was to the republics or to the laws, in which this communist organisation is renounced. Politically, he advocated a popular state. He's called a man of action. He's called so, however, by people whose writings and behaviour show clearly that they mistake action for agitation. In 1970, in a preface he wrote to a text by Evola, he considered favourably the possibility of a urban guerrilla in Italy. Anyone slightly familiar with Riding the Tiger sees that this stand is in stark contrast with the attitude professed by Evola in this work, which, despite its higher realism, doesn't seem to manage to dissolve the residues of neo-romanticism which are still hidden in most contemporary opponents of the so-called system. Whether they like it or not, the survival of Europe does not depend on the existence or not of an Israeli state. It's all very well for Westerners to denounce the existence of the Israeli state, an issue which has become an obsession in the pathological sense in most European extremist circles, to the point of making them forget about the very existence of Europe and the catastrophe it is facing. In some cases, this involvement, after 20 or 30 years of struggle and a few months in prison, can pay off. Wouldn't be, however, more courageous to draw people's attention to the fact that Western countries are currently managed de facto by the Jew and that, therefore, their policies are dictated by the Jew. A solution to the never-ending Israelis-Palestinian conflict, which is a mere lure set up by the Jew, would not mean by any way the liberation of Europe from the cultural parasite which has been feeding on it, something which should be the only goal of any true European in the political field, whereas this liberation would lead to the solution of this problem, which, anyway, should be considered as secondary, consequential from a truly European standpoint, as well as to many other false problems. We do not hesitate to affirm that any European who fights for any extra-European cause, whatever cause it is, before fighting for the European cause chooses the easy way out. This is merely escapism. Once again, there are texts which show that Evola was neither Zionist or anti-Zionist. Evola was European, as few have been and as even fewer still are. Frieda, however, did the latter a big service in republishing, a few years after Evola's death, his racist works. 1. Psychoanalisi della Contestazione, Illinois Conciliator, 1970. 2. Considerazioni sul Movimento Studentesco, Illinois Conciliator, 1968.